In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Monday has arrived again, so let's take a look at the intro for this week from Psalm 92, verses 1 through 5. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. That's Psalm 92, verse 5, and that's the antiphon for our introit. And remember, the antiphon is the first verse you hear, and it's chosen to set the stage and summarize all the lessons for the week. I don't think anybody's going to argue that the works of God are great. After all, the Creator of heaven and earth is all-powerful, and the Bible is full of mighty works that He has done. I mean, here we could mention the flood and the Exodus, which would include the 10 plagues, the crossing of the Red Sea, manna from heaven, water from a rock, the earth swallowing up the wicked, and more. We could talk about the deliverance of Israel during the time of the Judges, or the expansion of the kingdom under David. We could throw in the miracles that Jesus worked over disease, over nature, over demons and death. All of these works are great works. But this antiphon comes with the Gospels and from Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 20. And there, remember, Jesus answers the question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And his answer is surprising. He describes greatness in terms of childlike faith that simply trusts that God will provide all necessary good things. He describes greatness in terms of service, such as teaching children the Christian faith. He also describes greatness as the patient dedication to restoring a brother who has sinned. That's the same Lord whom we praise in Psalm 92, right? So when we're praising the Lord for great works there, we're including His work of giving us repentant hearts, of giving us faith to believe in Him, and giving us daily bread. We're also including His work of using us as His instruments to care for others in the same old vocations that He's called us into. We're also including the opportunities to help the neighbor and be kind to the rude guy at the store. In other words, some of God's great works are done in the most mundane situations that we try to avoid, times that we think are nothing great or nothing special at all. It goes without saying that baptism is a great work of God. Whenever sinners are brought to repentance and faith, the angels in heaven rejoice. It goes without saying that the Lord's Supper is a great work of God. We learned in Sunday's sermon that the greatest in the kingdom of God is the one who sins the least, forgives the most, and serves all. That's Jesus, and Jesus Himself visits His people to serve in that holy communion. That's Jesus, whose sinless sacrifice on the cross was the greatest moment in history, even though it looked like a shameful death. It looked like just one more ordinary execution, one crucifixion among many. Nothing great about it at all. But the Lord's works are great. It's just that His great works don't strike us as great. It's too easy, for instance, to sit in church on Sunday morning and wait for the service to be over because you're looking forward to the afternoon with a great hike, a great time with friends, or a great nap. Thus, we have this nagging question, why does God do it this way? Why does He make His great things appear to be not so great? Perhaps, my friends, it's the wrong question. After all, the verse in total reads, how great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. As we recognize that God is almighty and does great things, we also recognize that He is all-knowing and that we cannot know the mind of the Lord. We also acknowledge that He is holy, and so He is perfect in His knowledge and His wisdom. So if His great things appear not so great to us sinners, is that because He is poor at marketing, or because we are sinfully skewed in what greatness is? If God's great works are a reflection of His nature, what does this tell us about our opinion of God? Whenever we take God's great works and great sacrifice for granted, the problem is not with Him, it's with us. And in that case, His grace is only that much more astonishing. Rather than forgive us only when we finally get around to proper thankfulness, He also forgives us for our sins of chronic ingratitude. Someday, on the last day, our vision will not be so skewed, and we will see things as God sees them. In the meantime, rejoice to live by faith, trusting that the things of God are great, most of all His great grace and life in Christ for you. Because it's for Jesus' sake alone that yours is the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O God, from whom all good proceeds, grant to us, your humble servants, your holy inspiration, that we may set our minds on the things that are right, and by your merciful guiding, accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, how great are your works and how deep are your thoughts. Forgive us for our many sins of thought, word, and deed, and preserve us in humble repentance and faith until that day when we stand before you in glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Rejoice, my friends, the Lord's great work of salvation is for you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.